is Karen Hoke. Karen, welcome in the studio. Now, this is already a very contested primary, and we just kicked off a new year. What made you want to jump in this race?
You know, I'm really passionate about this seat and this district in particular. It wasn't clear whether there was going to be an opportunity to pursue it, you know, at the beginning of last year, but it was definitely something that I think a lot of people who are interested in the seat were keeping their eye on. When John Rivera announced his candidacy in October, you had two assembly candidates immediately come out and announce their candidacy. I was focused on getting through the last election cycle and started my efforts, the day after the election on November 6th of last year. So my interest is, to represent the 149th, which goes from all of the town of Hamburg, goes through a part of the city of Lackawanna, throughout the entire west side. We've got neighborhoods of Black Rock and Riverside, and every resident in that district has priorities and concerns and things that they want to see delivered to their district. I know that with my government experience, personal experience, that I am well positioned to be effective in delivering for this district, and I'm excited to pursue the opportunity to represent them.
So, Karen, leading up to this run for assembly, what have you been doing? What's gotten you to this point where you say Albany is next?
So, you know, it's an interesting and a long story. As a young person, I started my career in infrastructure about 20 years ago, which really put me in a lot of spaces to see the big work that is done through investing in infrastructure. I started working out in the private sector, in 2006, and worked on some pretty large projects with the New York State Department of Transportation and with the New York State Thruway Authority. I got to see what a difference those investments make in all communities. And these are things that I think are shared issues across the aisle when it comes down to potholes and taking care of the basics and making sure that we have continued investment to keep our roads paved, our roads plowed, and then improvements in some of those areas and taking care of our massive network of bridges throughout the region.
You know, you mentioned the district. It's Hamburg, it's parts of Lackawanna, it's the city of parts of the city of Buffalo. You know, those are three pretty different, when you think about it, you know, different issues in each part of the district. As a member of the assembly, what would you be focusing on, and what do you think would be one of the first things you would like to attempt to get done as a member of the assembly?
So it is a large district, and you know, every community has their priority, and some of them are shared priorities, but look different in each part of the district. I think what we're hearing from the people of the district is their concerns on what state government is doing to address the affordability crisis. I think that infrastructure and investing in infrastructure, not just on our highways and our bridges, but you know, our buildings. I've seen the impacts of investing in infrastructure at a local level, whether it's been on the town, whether it's been in county government, and those relationships are so important in understanding how funding and planning and implementation actually gets done coming down from the state.
You talk about affordability, and this is something I've talked about on my show. Do you think the way that current leadership in New York is handling it is enough, or is there more you'd like to see at the state level to try to make living in New York State more affordable? And if so, what is that?
I would say that what we're doing is enough is not the case. I'm happy to see that there's been a lot of initiatives and legislation that are moving forward. But until we see results for the working families across the district that are changing their quality of life and addressing the struggles that so many people share, you know, from Hamburg to the West Side to Black Rock, we can certainly say that there's more that needs to be done. And a lot of that happens in the assembly, going up through the Senate and getting to the governor's desk. I would say that in the assembly district, or in the assembly, the legislative body, there's 150 assembly members. So the idea that one person can get those things done and carry it over the finish line, it can't happen without, you know, shared partnerships, identifying shared priorities without other members of the state legislature, and really taking some action on things that are going to impact issues of affordability that have people all across the district really feeling the squeeze right now when it comes to getting bills paid, being able to afford housing, things like that.
Now, when Mayor Ryan would come on as Senator Ryan, we would have this back and forth. And I wonder what you think. So, you know, affordability, I'm seeing pictures of gas stations down south, out west, where gas is around $2, $2.20. Here, I just paid $3.08 this morning. Do you think the state, I don't know, looking at places where they could cut a tax here or there, do you think that's a doable process at the state level?
I think it's doable. It's going to take some collaboration. It's going to take looking at the data hard to see if that's somewhere where there can be an impact.
Because, I mean, the budget, obviously, a main criticism is, I mean, every year the state budget continues to rise and rise. Mm-hmm. And you would think, you know, with the affordability, could we cut something in government that would benefit the people?
I think there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of moving pieces of legislation right now. And my goal day one would be to identify, you know, those partnerships, where they stand in the legislative body and how they can be effective by moving them forward.
Now, obviously, a big issue, and I've had numerous members of the assembly on both sides on this, is the electrification that was supposed to go into effect is on pause with a court order. What are your thoughts on not only the electrification, but the new law that the 100-foot rule no longer a thing in New York State? Is this moving too quickly, in your opinion? What do you think?
The 100-foot rule in particular, I wouldn't say that's moving too quickly. I think the initiatives overall, they're all attainable. It's the timelines, I think, that people are having a hard time agreeing on. How long it's going to take to implement some of these things. When you talk about electrification, when it comes to, you know, buses and it comes to what drives over our infrastructure here in Western New York, there's a lot of interagency collaboration that is already being worked on to identify, can our system handle these changes? And there's been success in a lot of places, but I think to meet some of the deadlines, we're really going to need to hone in, you know, from elected officials to people who are running agencies like the New York State Department of Transportation, and then also including the locals in those conversations to make sure that these deadlines are attainable, because the initiative itself is attainable. It's just what needs to be done so that we can further implement some of these initiatives.
So if the pause, if the courts come back and say, hey, you can put this in effect tomorrow, you would be for no new gas hookups on new builds?
I would have to say, if the courts are saying that we can implement it tomorrow, we need to be able to answer if we can implement it tomorrow. So what I would go back to is that the implementation phase and having those conversations would really have to inform when that date is possible.
Now, you talk a lot, you talk about infrastructure and the roads, and we've heard from highway superintendents about electric buses, because that's the big next thing, and what that could mean for our roads. I'm not saying, you know, that down the line, electric cars aren't the future, but the way electric cars are now, they're very heavy, they're more wear and tear on roads that, as you know, are already kind of beat up in Western New York. Do you think that aspect is moving too quickly?
I think that it's absolutely attainable. Some of the things that you see when you talk about electrification of buses or electrification of, let's say, snowplows, for example, the question that's being asked by the industry professionals is, can the network support that? You know, we need to have an accurate assessment of, you know, municipal load ratings across structures, bridges, large culverts, things like that. And getting that information sharing together to tie into the legislation is going to be able to determine when that is possible. I know there's been some success moving forward, but again, it's going to take that collaboration with the subject matter experts when it comes to the actual infrastructure systems that are across New York State, whether it's, you know, the thruway, DOT, local municipalities, and our towns and villages. But it's on its way.
Now, if you were to win, you'd be taking over for John Rivera, very popular with the unions.
Yes.
Your thoughts on unions, and is that support that you're hoping to get in this race?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to building relationships with a lot of the unions. They represent, you know, working families and the working class throughout this district. We are heavily rooted in union families and union support throughout this district. I plan on taking the time to earn that support because I think that they are one of the most valuable stakeholders when it comes to the conversations that take place and really carry the message to Albany to make sure that we can be effective in legislation.
John Rivera also, he and I have had a few discussions on this. He called for a boycott on the Hyatt during, I don't know if that's still going on, but when there was a push for unification and I believe someone was laid off and they tied that to the union. The Hyatt, you know, one of the few businesses that's still really rolling downtown, a place to stay when hotel rooms is probably one of the reasons we're not getting bigger events. Would you have taken the same approach or would you have handled that differently?
I think that was important to take a stand on. I mean, this is where really supporting labor starts. When you see employees who don't have the opportunity to unionize so that they have the protections that they deserve, I think it's important to stand up for them. I've seen, you know, the impacts and the value of strong union leadership and what it can do for a workforce in the public sector. And I think that that would be something that where you can make a stance and make a difference is where you're going to really see the change to protect these workers.
With that said, and I'm not saying that you, with that said, do you also believe that the Hyatt Hotel is important to Buffalo?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot of conversation that is going on around downtown and the continued revitalization and what that looks like. It's not the same as it was 20 years ago, you know, and I think at points earlier on in our history, it was a 9-to-5 approach. People are looking for more there. We've got the convention center, we've got the arena, we've got multiple events that go on there. We need to be able to have, you know, hotels and businesses that are able to accommodate past that 9-to-5 approach. People who are coming for the weekends, people who are coming to visit for longer term events and be able to enjoy some of what we have to offer, you know, throughout the whole entire day in downtown Buffalo. So the presence of having some strong hotels in the area is absolutely important.
Now, we've got a few businesses that have been closing downtown. Hamburg actually gained one of those businesses. Dinosaur Barbecue opened up in Hamburg. Do you believe, and you have some experience on this, do you believe that New York State is business friendly and could it be better?
I do believe that New York State is business friendly, but I also believe that it could be better. The pandemic brought up issues that had really probably been baked in issues that were exposed because of the pandemic. And here we are 5 years later, still seeing the impacts of that. We need better partnerships with the leadership that represents our small businesses, our restaurants, and make sure that they have the opportunity and the tools that they need to succeed in their businesses.
Is it in the state's best interest to get the 25,000 people a week who aren't going downtown back downtown? And if so, how does the state make that happen?
You know, that's not something that I have the catch-all answer to. You know, I think it's something that we need to work together and have answers to. We've got a new administration in the city of Buffalo who has an agenda on how they want to address these things. And I think that it's important that regardless who succeeds in this seat, not even as much has to share that same prioritization, but understand the timeline of it and what our holistic overall approach is from a you know, a comprehensive plan level of how we want to execute some changes to make sure that we can see a robust, thriving downtown that isn't just about the 9-to-5 people who are downtown.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Right on the border of Orchard Park where this beautiful new stadium is.
Yeah.
Do you think there are ways that Hamburg could capitalize off now knowing that they will be right on the border of where the Bills play for the next 30 years? And does that include something with the McKinley Mall site?
Yes. So I formerly served on the Hamburg Town Board. These were conversations that have really tuned up and come in after my service on the Hamburg Town Board. I think Hamburg absolutely has to be looking at those opportunities. We're a town of over 60,000 residents. There's a lot of opportunities for, you know, economic opportunity there that ties into maybe the shared vision that Orchard Park has so that can really be present as the new stadium is opening.
Now, obviously, it's a four-person race in the primary. You'll be looking for endorsements. Have you talked to Mayor Sean Ryan yet about possibly endorsing the campaign?
I have not talked to Mayor Ryan. Mayor Ryan and I have a relationship going back to when he represented us in the state assembly and then continuing on into his role in the state Senate. Mayor Ryan is not weighing in on this part of the race at this time, is my understanding. I'll be pursuing any endorsement that I can get in that regard. But first, we need to decide, is there going to be an endorsement? Is there going to be an endorsement process? And then I would suspect that elected leaders, you know, throughout that district are going to, you know, decide what point they want to publicly come out and support the candidates that have a four-way race at this time.
Anything you wanted to say that I did not bring up?
I think the only other things that I wanted to say would be, you know, my campaign is going to be focused on a lot of the same things that you're seeing the other candidates talk about. And the other candidates are passionate about those initiatives, and I share that passion with them. For me, it's about how can you be effective? You know, you will hear people say that they want to fight for you in Albany, but it's not as simple as just fighting for you in Albany. You have to know how to navigate the relationships, the systems that are necessary so that you can be effective. The thing that I'm excited to bring in about my campaign is my background in infrastructure. I've worked for 20 years in infrastructure. I've worked in the private sector for a good bulk of that before coming to Erie County 5 years ago as their deputy commissioner of highways. I've participated in advocacy with the Western New York delegation when it comes to making sure that we are restoring and improving our funding that comes down from a state level. You think about our CHIPS funding, which brings millions of dollars to county governments, towns, and that comes down through the state. This is stuff that isn't always exciting to people. They don't think about the infrastructure issues until they're driving over a pothole or they come up upon a closed bridge. And knowing the mechanisms and tools that maintains those investments, that gets our roads paved, and how to, one, make sure they're secured every year in the budget process, but also make sure that we have continued and increased investment. We live in Western New York. Our network of infrastructure takes a beating. Look outside today. We've seen it much worse. And there has been, you know, I've been part of teams, you know, in town government, in the county government that have done a great job of implementing investment in infrastructure. After years of seeing disinvestment in some of those places, these teams have come forward and really put a lot of great projects out there that impacts, you know, not just people who are driving through infrastructure, but people who are riding their bikes, people who are taking public transit. It's an issue that is important to everybody, regardless of what political side you're on. And I'm excited to bring that experience to show how I can be effective in maintaining some of those things, but also improving on them.
Bills, Jags, what you got?
Bills. Always the Bills. I think it's going to be a good game, and I think we're going to come out on top.
All right. Karen, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk again before the primary.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much.